Good morning. It's not morning anymore. So we were in the midst of our discussion, but it feels like morning because we have our coffee, right? Amidst of our discussion of Cafe Via. And essentially, it seems like it should be a big problem. It seems like it should certainly be usher. We've so far considered two general approaches to possibly being matir. The first is based off of Bittul Berov and the Shivul HaLeket and the like, and we questioned whether or not it's Shaykh Bittul Berov in a situation like this. This is a very unusual example of Bittul, something that has the status of non-cooked holiday Bittul becoming cooked. The second approach that we began considering is the idea that when it comes to Melacha Shabbos, we look at the Iker and not the Tafel. We know certainly that's true in the realm of Hotzah, like the example we gave of pushing the baby stroller, that there's no Chiyuv. We wondered about whether or not that should be Shaykh to other Melachos. We saw, for example, that the Rashba seems to use that type of Svara in the Melach of Tzeda, as we discussed. Of course, the Ran there disagrees. The Ran says that we can't just ignore the deer. However, some Achronim, among them Tzvi Pesach Frank, argued that we could even say that according to the Ran, this might be okay. This case meaning either, well, let's talk about the case of the chicken bones and the chalent. This is what Rav Pinchas Scheinberg argued. He said, look, maybe the Ran would agree over here. Why? Why does the Ran disagree with the Rashba? The Ran disagrees with the Rashba because the Ran says the deer is something very chashev and you can't really discount it. You can't ignore the deer. The deer is chashev. So therefore, there's a problem. However, says Rav Scheinberg, the Ran would agree in the case where we're talking about something which isn't chashev, like the chicken bones. And therefore, he says, it's going to be permissible to return the chalent to the fire, even though that's going to cause the chicken bones to be further cooked, because they are batel and tafel. Certainly the Rashba would agree, and even the Ran might agree. Agav, he has a interesting insight that the machlokas Rashba and Ran about the deer and Seda is also their same machlokas about Riboy Shiurim, whether it's deraisa or not, that we've seen both machlokos, so I'm mentioning it, that the reason why the Rashba thinks there's no chiyu for Riboy Shiurim is because it's insignificant, it's tafel, it's batel ram, but the Rashba's the view that when you do malacha and there's some additional malacha that sort of tags along, but is not very significant, is not important, so then it's tafel and batel, not bittel in the sense of a taroves. So, but bittel in the sense of not being significant, so that's no chiyuv on Shabbos. So just like you don't have to worry about the deer, you don't have to worry about the riboy, the extra shear that happens to be cooked along with the main thing that you're intending to cook. The Ran is machmir by the deer, and he's machmir by riboy shear. But again, Scheinberg at least argues that even the Ran would agree over here. We began, I don't remember how many of these we mentioned, but half dozen or so rayos that the Achronim show that this concept might exist in places outside of Hotzah. I'll just mention one more, which is actually not identical, but since it relates to Simen Shin Yud Ches, it's worth considering. A very interesting insight that Rabbi Kiva Eger makes in Shin Yud Ches. The Magen Avraham, Shin Yud Chesef Katan Lamed Aleph, writes that it's aser to put a piece of hot meat into cold liquid, let's say cold gravy. Why? Because what happens, so even if we pass Kintasa Gavar, but there's a klipa's worth of bishul, so the bishul that takes place over there is a problem. Okay, that's what Magen Avraham says. Frek the Chavostas, and this is cited by Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Chavostas is Yerodea, Simen Sadi Aleph, Sifkatan Yud, so Hey, Sifkatan Hey, it's towards the end, we did it last year also, says that there's a stira, because we know the Rama in Simin Sif Yud Beis of our Simin Shin Yud Ches says you're allowed to put a lot of cold water into a little bit of hot water, right? To warm it up or cool it down. So the kasha is, but there's going to be a little bit of bishul, right? It's true, eventually it's all going to get mixed up. It's all going to get mixed up. But initially, there's going to be a little bishul. Just like we say you can't drop, according to Magen Avraham, the hot leg into the cooled gravy because there's going to be a little bit of bishul immediately at that first instant when they touch. So to over here, there's going to be a little bit of bishul. So why should it be any different? Says the Chavostas, no. Meleches machshaves asra Torah. And in the case of the chicken and the gravy, your nana from the bishul, you appreciate it. Whereas in the case of the water, since even though there is a little bit of bishul, but since shortly thereafter, a second later, everything gets all mixed up together and it's back down, so then, it's mutter. In other words, even though it's true, with respect to bishul, there's a bishul in both cases. But one case, it's a bishul that you benefit from. One case, it's a bishul you don't benefit from. And therefore, it's mutter. So, as I said, this is not exactly the same point, but it's a similar point. Saying that in a world of Shabbos, we don't just look at whether or not melacha was accomplished, but we look at intent or benefit from the melacha. And perhaps this idea of the Rashba, maybe all Rishonim, maybe the Gemara, that you could have something that's tafel and batel, that when it's happening, it's not significant and therefore mutter, might be rooted in the concept of melechas machsheves, if you take this idea of the Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Chavostas. Be that as it may, returning really to our question. So our question in our simon, we have possibly two examples of this idea. Number one is the Shibole Haleket, assuming especially if you assume that the Shibole Haleket is Mater L'chadchila. So he's not worried about Bishol because it's Tafel. And two, perhaps even more significantly, we have Rabbeinu Yerucham, Rabbeinu Yonah. They hold that we don't have to be worried about the bishul of the miut, right? Namely, if mostly solid, miut liquid, even though there is bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, since it's batel and tafel, it's mutter. That could be the pshat in both of them. And then, conceivably, you could say the same thing in the kafe via. Yeah, maybe technically speaking, there's a little bishul in the 10% of the roasted coffee, but that's tafel and batel to the 90% of instant coffee, and it's okay. But to be honest, even if you accept this very mechudash approach in terms of explaining Shibole Haleket and Rabbeinu Yerucham, and the Rashba, and Iran, and the Tosfos and Beitza, and all the other theories, it's not at all obvious that it could be applied to the case of the coffee. Because over here, in the case of the coffee, really, I want both cooked. I want the 90% cooked, and I want the 10% cooked. There's no cooking going on in the 90%. There is halachic cooking in the 10%. But other than it's being a minority, it's not in and of itself secondary. In other words, in the case, Shibole Haleket might be more domes. Certainly in the case of Rabbeinu Yerucham, what Rabbeinu Yerucham might be saying is the miut is secondary. Over here, is it so obvious that the miut is secondary? So that's not at all pashut. It's not at all pashut, even if you accept all this, that the application would be correct. But at least conceivably, it could be a model to explain the Shibole Haleket and possibly to be matir kafe via. Now, I'd like to stop for a second and say, does everybody agree to this idea? Remember last time, we said that the Iker Nekuda of Rabbeinu Yerucham seems to be that we look at, when we're talking about a question of bishul, we look at that which is, the Chiddush, the Iker Nekuda, the Chiddush is we look at it as one unit, right? Therefore, we follow Rov. We're not worried about the minority, right? That's the Iker Nekuda Sachiddush of Rabbeinu Yerucham. We look at this Tavshil as a single unit, as opposed to saying, no, this is basically two different things that you're putting onto the blach, let's say, two different things you're putting onto your plata, two different things. Some of it's mutter to cook, some of it's asr to cook, and therefore lemaisa, you can't put the tavshil onto the plata. That's the intuitive way to look at it. The way Rabbi Yerucham is saying it is, no, look at it as one unit, and as a unit, this is something that we all categorized as not subject to mishnah. That's the ikra nekuda. Does everybody agree to that perspective of Rabbi Yerucham? So, l'chora, there are three deos in this, in Sif Tes. That's really the debate in Sif Tes. What's going on in Sif Tes? So, the Gemara tells us that Bisar Shor is very hard to cook. It's difficult to cook, and it won't really cook except if it's in a Kli Rishon Shalagabi Eish. It won't cook in a Kli Rishon Shalagabi Eish, as opposed to other foods, many other foods, most foods maybe, that will cook even in a Kli Rishon Shalagabi Eish. So, are you allowed to put Bisar Shor into a Kli Rishon? So, the simple reading of the Gemara actually sounds like it's mutter. And that, the beginning, again, how you read the Mechabers is three deos or two deos, the notes that Kalim discuss, but at least initially that's what the Mechaber sounds like. Mechaber writes, Yesh mi sheomer, sheaser lases psar meliach, shel shor letoch, what's it, Kli Rishon? I didn't bring my Shulchan Aruch. I brought so many Sfar. I think I bring a Shulchan Aruch among them. Okay. It's okay. I'll use the Mishnah Berurah. Right. Aval melach moter lasis lasocha kevan sheviro me al haesh detricha milcha bishula kibisra detura. So it sounds like from there that the bisra detura is not going to be nisbashel on a kli rishon shalal haor. Yesh misho ser lasis kli lasoch kli zeh besar meluach afilu hu shel shor. No, there are machmirim haga v'nira li. The below maluach nami aser, ella the nakam maluach the below hachi aser, mishum dam shibo. So, what are the different possible positions over here? One possible position is it's always mutter because bisar shor doesn't cook. The second opinion is that we're going to be machmir. This is the there's two the achronim rishonim debate how to read the rush, but the that. It's going to be mutter if we have Bisar HaShor that was salted but not washed off. And the reason is because the salt is Mesayei Labishal, as the Magen Avraham writes in Sifkatan Lamed. And then the Ramah goes further. The Ramah says, even if it was washed off, we have to be concerned. In other words, you have Bisar HaShor, you salted it, of course, then you washed off the salt as one would normally do, so that both for melicha purposes and so it's edible. And now it's just plain old regular bisar shur. Still, it's aser. Now, what's the reason for the machmirim? Certainly the most machmir view and even the middle possibility. And the reason is because of the dam shebo, the lachlucha shebetocho. That's what the Ramah is worried about. So what's the pshat in the Ramah? The Ramah is worried about, even though overall this piece of Bisar HaShor won't really cook, but there's a little bit of lachos here that might cook, right? A little bit of lachos that might cook from this Bisar HaShor, and therefore it's usher to put it in. So what do you see? You see that the Ramah is taking the opposite perspective of Rabbeinu Yerucham. And again, maybe the Mechaber as well. The Ramah and the Rush basically are saying, look, if you have something that's mostly not going to cook here in this Kli Rishon, like this Bisar Shor, but a small part of this will cook, like the Lachos Shebo, the Dam Shebo, whatever it is, so then we have a problem, right? So we have two perspectives over here, right? One, to sort of oversimplify a little bit, there might be more than two perspectives when you look at the Nosei Kelim in the Shulchan Aruch, and there's a machlokas with the Mechaber and the like, but I don't want to get bogged down in the details. Broadly speaking, there's two perspectives. The more lenient perspective says you don't have to worry about the, you only have to worry about the ikker that you're putting in. And the machmir view, which we accept, says no. You have to worry even about the minor, less consequential, maybe inconsequential things that you're putting in. Good. So first of all, you see that the Ramah seemingly utterly rejects the Shtickel Torah that I said before, right? How to explain Rabbi Yerucham and Shmuel and the like. Now, what's interesting, and maybe a little surprising, is who's the one that quotes the Rabbi Yerucham and Sif Dalet? Ramah, right? Ramah's Meika, like Rabbi Yerucham and Sif Dalet. So, is it a stira in Ramah? So I think there's two ways you could go. One way to go is to say, look, even if the Ramah quotes the Rabbi Yerucham and Sif Dalet, he quotes Rabbi Yerucham in a very limited way. Maybe he understood Rabbi Yerucham this way, or maybe he only accepts half of Rabbi Yerucham. But push comes to shove, the only thing that the Ramah permits in Sif Dalet is when it's mitzdamek viralo. In other words, even though generally speaking, we have a principle that by davar lach, yesh bishalach ar bishal, but says the Ramah in Sif Dalet, if it's mitzdamek viralo, it's okay. And the logic of that's very simple, because why is it that yesh bishalach bishal davar lach? Because there's some type of significant tikkun when you reheat something that's lach. Ah, that's true when it's a significant tikkun. But if it's mistamik viralo, by reheating this liquid, you're making it worse. So then memela, we are machmir. We are meiko. Good. Now, if that's all the Ramah holds of, either that's all the Ramah thought Rabbi Yerucham said, or that's all Ramah accepts of Rabbi Yerucham, then there's not really a stira. The Ramah fundamentally says, look, if there's any amount of bishul here taking place, even if it's only in the 5% of what you're putting on the stove, even if it's very insignificant, that doesn't matter. It's usser. 5% bishul on 5% of the food is also bishul. So, it's usser. What does he permit? He permits when it's 100% mitztamek viralo. Then, even though it happens to be liquid, you're not doing anything so significant. And even that, you saw the Mishnah Berurah, the Bach, not everybody's so excited about accepting that kula in the Ramah. But that's the Ramah Shita. So when you read the Ramah that way, again, there's no stira between Siftes and Sifdalet. Oh, that's one way. Another way, I sort of thought that the Rabbeinu Yerucham and maybe even the Ramah and Sif Dalet really don't sound that way. When the Ramah, or when Rabbeinu Yerucham talks about mitztamek viralo, he's talking about a tavshil, meaning to say, it sounds more like we're talking about a dish that has solid foods, okay, solid and mishlach habishal, but there's also some type of liquid, going and floating around. And even though it's the liquid, maybe that gets better when it's heated because it's lach, but overall, as a dish, this is mitztamek viralo, and that's why it's mutter. Now, if that's the pshat, then the Ramah is conceding that we look at the ikker and, to some degree at least, ignore the tafel. Well, if that's the pshat, so then there's a stira. The answer is maybe the Ramah is willing to be meikel in Sif Dalet, because there it's only a shayla of bishul achar bishul. After all, the liquid that's coming along here that's getting cooked up is anyway cooked, right? You're putting back the chicken, and there's a little bit of gravy on the chicken. The chicken is mitzamek viralo, fine. So overall, this isn't really getting better cooked. There's a little bit of gravy, no problem. Because anyway, that liquid is mevushal. So when your whole shayla is bishlach bishul b'davar lach, then we're willing to look at the ikker. But in the case of siftes, there we're talking about something that's mamish not cooked, right? The Bzar HaShur that has a little bit of lachos on it, that lachos is zero. So then the Ramah is not willing to be meikel. He follows the Machmir view. And that's especially easy to swallow if you hold, like Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish and the like, who say anyway the Rama thinks that b'shalach b'shal davalach zuchumra. So really doesn't really hold yesh b'shalach b'shal davalach. So we'll be able to throw in Rabbi Yerucham and Sif Dalet. But that notion is totally unacceptable in Sif Tes when we're dealing with something that's already that has never been cooked. Now, even if you don't go like Rav Moshe, even if you go like the Magen Avraham, that the Rama is choshish for bishul deraisa by lach. Still, you might still be able to say similar type of thing because, again, still the basic idea is that davar lach, there's something significant, and here there's nothing significant. Fine, one way or the other. If that's true, if that's the especially the later interpretation, if the first interpretation of the Rama certainly cafe via would be out of the question for the Rama. The latter interpretation of Rama might give you. You might still be an open question about the via, because on the one hand, the roasted coffee hasn't yet been cooked. On the other hand, it has been roasted. In other words, you could argue it's more like the case of Sif Dalet, of a Bishal Achar Bishal Shaila, here it's Bishal Achar Tzliya, and less like the case of Sif Tes, where it's totally uncooked. But that's unclear, because on the one hand, you are doing a significant tikkun, on the other hand, like we said, it could happen when it's cold anyway. You could make this stuff when it's cold. So, though there's the tikkun isn't necessarily al yedei the bishul. Yeah?
I'm not sure if this makes any sense, but could you possibly explain the difference that just bechlal, the question of whether something is nidon as a davar lach or a davar yavesh has nothing to do with, in general, the question of bittul, just as that. I know Rebulig writes that we have radically different gedarim of what constitutes bishul for something that's lach and something that's yavish. That in general, that if
it just it matters if they're a tikkun or not.
What?
It matters if there's a tikkun or not.
But what constitutes a tikkun for a davar yavish can be defined differently from what constitutes a tikkun for a davar. So if you're going to say like that, so then when I'm coming to deal with the shayla of is this liquid, then the liquid in something that's primarily yavesh, functionally the tikkun for that liquid is the same as it would be for davar yavesh.
That could be.
But then, when the Ramah's coming by lach luchas, there that's not a question of whether it's nidon as davar yavesh or davar lach. There it's nidon as a shayla as to whether the basar is noach levashel or not noach levashel.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he's saying it's aser because you have to worry about the bishul on that little lachas.
Yes, but
so
the reason we're being machmir by the dam and makil by the basar over here isn't because the basar is yavesh and the dam is lach. It's because the basar is kasha levashel and the dam is kal levashel. So
yeah,
why can you equate the two sugyas to each other?
That's basically the first type of answer we gave, exactly. Now, those are the two. We have two models. I think you're just slightly a different formulation of one of the two approaches to resolving the question in the Rama. All right, so we want to go on past this via stuff, but just to summarize, so we had two. The Pashup Shad is it should be Aser. Pashup Shad should be Aser. Certainly, or there should be a shayla of bishul. There's two possible approaches to be matir, both of them questionable. Number one is based off of bittul. That may be if the rov is cooked, then we say bittul, and the entire thing is cooked. And that's one way to understand the shibuli aleket. That's certainly the way some achronim understood the shibuli halakat, and then we should say rov and the like. Rishachter, by the way, was into that to some degree. I don't want to quote him as saying totally mutter, but he thought that it's okay, and he thought you didn't even need a shir shishim because this isn't a shayla of b'chol tarku we follow rov. It's not a tam shayla. It's not a iser v'hatter shayla. The other, but that was a very big chiddush. The other type of approach, and again, for that, to take that approach, first of all, you have to decide, A, whether it's shayach bittul for this type of thing or not. Let's say Shlomo Kluger thought yes, or Shlomo Zalman thought no. Even if you're going to say there is bittul, you have to discuss if there's a shir bittul or not. In other words, is it shishim or rov? If you need shishim, it's not going to work over here. then even if you're going to say that the shir would be rov, that gets into the general question of whether you say bittul of heter b'heter or not, and whether this would qualify as bittul of l'chatchila or not. Second approach, say no, there's no such thing as bittul in this case, like Shlomo Zalman Arbach and the Avnei Nezer and the like, and the tzad to be matir for the Shibul Eleket is like Rabbi Nirucham, like the Rashba by Tzeda, and like we find perhaps in other Malachos, that we follow the Iker. And if there's no Bishul on the Iker in this case, then you don't have to worry. Now, I'd like to just clarify one point. You could say it one second. Isn't this like the whole idea of Psikresha? Psikresha says, yeah, my Iker pool is X, but if Y inevitably happens, and certainly if it's Nihale, it's Asa Midaraisa, right? So that's what's going on over here.
Are you doing one pu'ula bishul?
So that's the answer. The answer is that this is not like, because it's one pu'ula on two things, but it's one pu'ula. Exactly. So again, in this case, we have the machlokas between Rosh Hashanah Zalman and Rav Moshe about the bones and the chalent. We have Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank arguing lahakel along the lines, and Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, that this principle of looking at the ikar is a principle, at least in Shabbos, in all malachos, not just Hotzah. Perhaps that idea comes up in the Chavos Das, Rabbi Kvieger and Arsimon. And even if you accept all that, it's still going to be very questionable because in this case over here, perhaps we can't treat the bishul on the miyot as tafel, that we have to treat it as also something chashiv. Lamaisa, for example, even Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Lamaisa was only willing to be mako about chazara with the chalent if you're not going to eat the bones. Even though there is bishul on the bones, but it's tafel, because you're not planning to eat them. So that's not at all a pashat tzad l'hakel as well. So what are you going to do, l'maisa, if you don't think both of these tzad l'hakel are shvach? So obviously you shouldn't do iroi. Now there's even if you're going to say instant coffee, doing iroi is okay, which pashtus it is. Again, we brought down why perhaps l'maisa you should be machmir and put your coffee into the klisheni as opposed to doing iroi onto the coffee. But l'maisa, mikra din, probably it's mutter to do iroi onto coffee. Here, for sure, you should do klisheni. But even klisheni is very questionable because we're concerned about bishul achar tzli in a klisheni. Maybe there's like kaliya bishul, right? The Yireim said chol shishani l'chatas by putting the challah into the klisheni soup. So certainly it's a risky business to put the cafe via into a klisheni. So klishlishi, what about that? Klishlishi already, then I could hear. Why? Because maybe klishlishi is never mevashel. And just like the Mishnah Berurah brought down the people got him to be mekel by klishlishi by the bread. Now we noted, of course, that's not so pashut, because the Mishnah Berurah only brought down klishlishi by the bread. He didn't bring it down earlier by tea, maybe, or coffee, so maybe the Mishnah Berurah himself wouldn't be machmir here, mekel here, but there are many poskim that are mekel by klishlishi. So I think there's makom to be machmir by klishlishi, but if somebody wants to make coffee via, they should do it with the klishlishi. Again, we had several arguments why maybe it should even be mutter iroi, but it's not pashut. Okay, so I'm going to go on to the last topic of Simen Shin Yud Ches, and that is the sugya of Hagasa. So the Gemara in Beya cites a brisa, Tanya, Echad Mevi Esaor, Ve'Echad Mevi Esaitzim, Ve'Echad Shoface Es HaKedera, Ve'Echad Mevi Esamayim, Ve'Echad Nosein B'Socho Tavlin, Ve'Echad Megis, Kulan Chayavin. So, in this case, over here, even though you already have a pot of food, you know, cooking on the fire, if you stir it, you're chayev. So Hagasa is chayev mishum mivashel. And it says chayev, so we're dealing with the Nisri D'Oraisa here. Now, that's pretty straightforward. What isn't clear is what are the parameters of this Isser. So one question is there a chiyuv only if it's not cooked? Or would you be chayv mishum hagasa even if it's cooked? Another question is, are you only chayv for the first hagasa? Or even subsequent hagasos? Another question is the chiyuv of hagasa only when it's on the fire? Or even when it's taken off the fire? Another question is hagasa violated only when you actually stir, or also when you take out the food with a spoon, where inevitably there's going to be some level of mixture? So all these questions, as you happen to see, were and are debated by the Rishonim. And every one of these questions is debated. So some Rishonim say only the first time, some say even subsequent hagasos, right? Ramban, among others, says only the first time. Some Rishonim say it's not shaykh hagasa after machal mendusai. Some say after machal mendusai is shaykh when not mefush kol zarko. Some Rishonim say only al ha'esh. Some say even not al ha'esh. Some say you could be chayev for ladling out. Some say no, not for ladling out. Some say it's sasa darbanan. Every one of these shaylas is a machlokas. That's why it's a little bit of a confusing sugya. But let's look at each one of these at least to some degree on their own. So the first question we'll address is whether it's shaykh and nisar gasa only al ha'esh, or even once you take the pot off the fire. So the Mishnah deals with this, discusses this, the Gemara really, in Shabbos, on Yud Ches Amud Beis. It's actually not clear. We're talking about their bishul, or maybe it's only a discussion by Tzoveya. But it says over there, Mahapech Ba.
But that's exact.
Correct, but it's a gzera that we have to be concerned about, right? There it's talking about a pot that was removed from the fire, and it says, "Mahapich ba u v'mivushol have a bishul." That's Rashi to a maschal megis. So according to Rashi, it sounds like there is a chiyuv of hagasa even when it's taken off of the pot, right? That's what Rashi says. Other Rishonim as well, the Ramban, the Rashba, I think, all learn that way. Tosfos, though, over there says no. There's no hagasa. It's only when it's on the fire. There's no hagasa after it goes off the fire. It sounds a little bit that way from the Ramban, though. That's what Lacha Mishnah's diak. This is Gimel Yud Aleph. The Kesef Mishnah disagrees. Maybe that's Ramban as well. So again, just to say it a little more straightforward. Rashi says you could be chayav mishum hagasa even when it's off the fire. Tosfos says it's only when it's on the fire. Now, what's the logic of Tosfos? We'll do Tosfos first. In other words, if hagasa is chayav mishum bishul, and we know you could do bishul when it's not on the fire, so why would you not be chayav mishum hagasa when it's off the fire? So probably the easiest way to understand it is because what is hagasa according to Tosfos? It's being mekayev es habishul, and more specifically, it's like bringing the food closer to the fire. In other words, the chiyuv of hagasa, if I don't stir my pot and it's on the fire, so like what happens? So the stuff on top is not yet cooked, it's out of the fire, right? Let's say you're cooking spaghetti, right? A lot of times this happens. If you don't stir the spaghetti, so some of the pieces of spaghetti are like hard, they're sometimes even sticking out of the water, right? Some of the spaghetti is on the bottom, it's all cooked, starting to burn to the bottom. And what do? You mix it together, and you bring the stuff on the top close to the fire. Your ha'am emaris abishol. Ah, that's an issue derisa. Now let's say you took it off the fire. So even when you stir it, you're not bringing anything closer to the fire because it's off the fire. It's on the counter. So that's presumably the logic of Tosfos, maybe Rambam, but Tosfos, that you are only chayev when it's off the fire. Now, what about the machmirim on the shayla? Could be, as we'll see in a moment, they're of the view that hagasa isn't just about being makariv habishul, but it's about improving. That would be easy to explain. In other words, over here, it's not just that you speed things along, but now it's evenly cooked, right? Again, if I don't stir things, so what happens? It's not evenly cooked, whatever it is, the stuff on top is crusty, the stuff on bottom is mushy. It's there's more to hagasa than just being makariv. So that would surely explain why it could be shayach even off the fire, right? Even if you say no, it's still about being makarvis habishul, but still, one could argue that that takes place just by mixing it. Stirring it in and of itself is to some degree makarvis habishul, or might be, could be, even shalag habish. Okay, so that's a machlokas. We are machmir in that chayla.
What if, doesn't cooking evenly assume that you're being makarvis habishul?
I mean, yes
that
and no.
Which wouldn't have
that's
cooked the same to the same degree as the other element.
Yeah. So that was the second option. You're saying what was my first option?
Yeah.
The first option was very simply that it's not that it makes it any quicker. It just improves the quality. In other words, like the stuff on top and stuff on bottom are both cooked. The stuff on top are a little more crunchy because they are like more exposed to the air. The stuff on the bottom is like mushy, right? Like when you take your chalent off the fire. Okay, you're going to be machmir, take the chalent off the fire. So what does it look like? We'll talk about whether it's mutter or not, right? But the stuff on top is very, you know, is sort of crispy, crunchy, right? And stuff on bottom is all mushy. And you take a spoon and you mix it all together. So it's all evenly. So in that case, you're not being makari v'sabishol because it's all mevushol. This thing has been in the crock pot for 18 hours. So, even without being makarivis a bishul, it's part of the bishul process, possibly. It's not that anything goes any quicker. Part of the bishul process is stirring, because that makes things more uniform, or the like. Now, again, to really appreciate that option, it doesn't have to come out here, because here, like I said, you could explain the machlokas, you could explain both shitos very easily by saying they both agree fundamentally to kirv es habishul. Just one focuses on kirv el ha'esh and one doesn't, right? So that's why I want to turn to the next machlokas, where I think you might certainly want to come onto that tzad, that tzad in the chakira. And that is the question, of course, of whether it's shayach hagasa after mevushal kol tzarko. So, again, the pashup shot is, if you had asked me before I started looking at the Beis Yosef, is of course not, right? How? If it's already cooked, you can't cook it again. It's mevushal kol tzarko, ein bishul chamishul, still hot, right? So it's for sure ein bishul chamishul, except that the kolbo, again cited by the Beis Yosef, I think he already cited it in Reishon and Gimel, we saw this at the end, is that even mevushal kol tzarko, there's a problem of hagasa, at the very least if it's al gabe ha'esh. And then, over here, we have an even more extreme position, the Marivayel, that it's shayach mevushal kol tzarko, even if it's shelo al gabe ha'esh. Right? So if you want to sort of somewhat overly simplify, we could say three shitos, right? One opinion, this is the view of the Rashba, among others, is that if it's already cooked, no hagas at all. The middle view, kolbo, if it's already cooked, there's hagasa when it's al gabe ha'esh, and no hagasa shel al gabe ha'esh. And the most extreme view, the Marivayel, is even fully cooked, even shel al gabe ha'esh, shayach hagasa. Okay, so what's going on over here? And agav, the Rama seems like he accepts the Marivayel. When you read the Rama, it sounds like the only way to like get your chalent into the bowl is by pouring it. Right? Because he's also machmir by ladling. Whoa, that's a pretty big chumrah.
Okay? The Rama is.
The Rama, yeah.
Right.
So we'll see if we accept that. But we have to really, before we get to even such an extreme view of the Rama, we have to understand how in the world anybody, the Kolbo also, how could anybody say there's a Shaila of Hagasa after it's Mefushal called Tzarko? Once it's Mefushal, right? Ain't Bishalach HaBishal. Right? Certainly ain't Bishalach HaBishal when it's lach, when it's still hot. So, right, I'm allowed to, I took the challenge off the crock pot, I'm allowed to put it back. Assuming it's Garf Katam and Tanai Chazar, right? Allowed to put it back. Can't be cooked. No Chashash HaBishal, it's already cooked. And yet I can't stir it. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense, right? Where is there room for bishul? So there are a number of ways where we could explain this school of thought in Rishonim. It's probably a minority view in Rishonim, but certainly a significant view of Rishonim. So how in the world could they do it? So Rav Moshe writes in those short shuvos, ostas, bishul ostas, he gives a couple of possibilities. First possibility, he says, is krutin. What are kratin? This brings us back to Hilchos Nida. So what is going on? That maybe there's like epis a little bit and a little small amount that wasn't cooked, right? Most of my challah was cooked. 99% of my challah was cooked. The chves, maybe there was like a little piece of barley or the like that was like sticking out the top and wasn't cooked. And when you cook it, when you mix it, it'll cook, right? Okay? According to the kolba, it'll only cook if it's on the fire still. According to my valley, it's off the fire. In other words, that's the concern over here. Of course, if something is really cooked, there's no kratin, then there's no agasa. Is there chiyuv agasa once it's taken off the fire? And once it's mefush kol tarko. But maybe it's not fully cooked. Maybe, again, there's a little bit of kratin, certain parts, certain amounts that didn't really cook. Right? So if you take it off the fire, you can put it right back on because whatever happened, happened already. But if you mix it, then you're going to create and cause bishul on something that wasn't cooked. And that's the chash, okay? Not all the Rishonim accept that chash. They think it's not true, or they'll think it's tafel and vatel, whatever it is. But at least some Rishonim accept that chash. Good, that's option one. Another possibility is from the Tiferes Shmuel. It's also quoted by Rav Moshe. Tiferes Shmuel is the commentary on the Rush. It's on the Rush, Per Gimel, Os Tazayin. And also Rav Moshe quotes that in Os Ches. And the problem, according to the Tiferes Shmuel, is that people will get confused. They'll think you're being magus in the kedera that's not mevushel kol tzarko, because usually when do you stir? Before you finish cooking, right? You're not supposed to wait till it's all finished cooking till you stir. So people will get confused. Either other onlookers will get confused, or Moshe sort of sounds like the person who does it's going to get confused. And they say, oh, just like I'm allowed to do Hagasa now when it's fully cooked, maybe I'm allowed to do Hagasa when it's not fully cooked. That's going to be a Chiyuv Daraisa. And that's the concern. So a different type of Gzeira, right? Option one, Kratin. Option two, Gzeira. Good. Those are sort of two of the classical ways to understand this concern over here. However, there's also a much more, we'll say a third approach, a much more fundamental approach. This is the approach that, among others, is developed by the Chazon Ish, very compellingly. And we have to ask a very basic hakira, the hakira that we sort of asked before, but now we'll ask it in much more straightforward terms, which is, what's the pshat in the Chiyuv Al Tzagasa? The pshat in the Chiyuv Al Tzagasa, that you're just being makaris avishal, you're causing it to go a little quicker? Or no, the pshat is that by stirring it, you're adding a new dimension of cooking, right? There's some type of tikkun. There's an additional tikkun that wouldn't have happened without Hagasa. We're saying, what's the pshat in the machmirim that Shaykh ibn Lacham of Vashakol Tzarko?
It's taking the word that Rabbi said in Rashi.
Right. So this is the way the Chazon Ish learns, that it's a new aspect of visual. There's more tikkun. And he says, you know, the Chazon Ish says, you know, whenever you find that it's Shaykh Bishol once it's Mevushel Kol Tzarko, so that's what we're talking about here. So, for example, the opinion of the Yireim, that there's Bishol Achar Tzli, right? What's the pshat? It's already fully cooked. No, because the tzad to be machmir is that you're adding something new when you do Bishol Achar Tzli. That wasn't there before, right? It's true, it's fully edible and delicious before, but now you're adding a new dimension, a new element, a new tikkun, right?
What is that?
So that's the idea of Hagasa being Derech HaBishul. It's not just Derech HaBishul to make sure it goes faster. I think probably for different foods, it's going to mean different things. And, you know, might not be that every single food has Hagasa, right? Like, for example, the poskim say there's probably no Hagasa for water, right? But at least for some foods, again, along the lines of what we were suggesting before, when you stir it, so then the distribution is better, the thing on top goes from being crusty to being soft, whatever it is. The goal, the purpose of Hagasa, at least some of the time, and since because you can't always know when this is true and when this isn't true, we're going to asser across the board, is that you're adding this new dimension, this new tikkun that wasn't there before, and memela, it's even conceivable, after it's mefush kol tzarko, and according to Marival, maybe even conceivable after it's mefush kol tzarko and removed from the fire. That's the concern. And the truth is, the Magid Mishnah points out, that's what it sounds like in the Rambam. Not the Magid Mishnah, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish disagrees with the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah Bedas Rambam. The Rambam makes this very interesting comparison. It's in Perk Tes Halach Yud Aleph. I assume everybody like me is already well into Shechita. You finished, you already finished Gozeis and you're learning Shechita. So you've learned the Rambam by Shechita. The Rambam says, you know, Shechita is Chayv Mishum Mechabes, right? So what's the pshat? So when the Rambam tells you Shechita is Chayv Mishum Mechabes, he gives like a mashal. Very interesting. Like, what do you need a mashal for? Right? He says, you know what? Shechita is mitzarchei akibos, and therefore it's chayev, just like agas is mitzarchei abishal, and it's chayev. So what's the meaning of that comparison, of that mashal? So Chazon Ish says, I'll tell you the pshat. Let's think of wherever it is, it's where it belongs. Oh, look, I should tell you exactly. Lamed Zayin Os Tezvav. The Chazon Ish says that the pshat is like this. So there's stages in laundering, right? So the first step, I don't know, shriya, right? You add the water, okay? And that cleans it out a little bit. And then there's kiskos. You go and, you know, you...
It's like lush.
Like lush. Oh, there we go. Right? Good. And that, I don't know, that loosens the dirt and it does... Okay? And then, you know, all the dirt is done and you squeeze out the baguette, that final rinse stage. And in our washing machines, you know, it goes around really fast. Okay, that's like a new dimension, right? It's a new point. And that too, it's mitzarche hakibus, and therefore it's chayev. And the Rambam says that's the same pshat in Hagasa. Hagasa, what do? You know, Bishop, what do? You take the food, you put it in a pot, you put it in the water, put it in the fire, it's cooking, right? And then at a certain point, you mix it, right? And what does the mixing do? It's not, I mean, it might also be mimahir, but it's not, it does much more than mimahir. It adds a new dimension to the cooking. It's another step, right? If you get like cookbooks for dummies, they'll say, you know, put the spaghetti in the pot, stir the pot, right? It's a new, just like.
It says that on the side of the box also, actually.
There we go. It's like laundry for dummies in the olden days before you had washing machines, right? It would also say, they would say this new step. And that's why the Chazon Ish thinks, even though, again, the classical Mefarshei HaRambam don't learn this way in the Rambam, it sounds like from the Rambam he says that it could be Chayev Mishum Hagasa even after it's Mefushal Kol Tzarko. Okay? But again, the Magid Mishnah and Kesef Mishnah don't learn that way in the Rambam. Anyway. So that's certainly the pshat in the Kolbo, and maybe even the pshat in the Rambam, according to Chazon Ish.
Really?
Now, there's just one more point to make you appreciate the einfall, the godless of this pshat, which is, we could maybe say, says the Chazon Ish, the Rambam and the Rashba l'shitasam. Remember, we had a machlok, yes, between the Rambam and the Rashba, whether it's bishul, lachem, machlok, and when you make it a mefushal called, ad to mefushal called tarko. So what are they arguing about? The Rashba says, look, if you're chayev already mishum bishul, you can't be chayev again, right? So when I brought it up to Machal Medrusha, it was Chayev. And even though Avadi, there's a tikkun afterwards, the Rashba, when he said you're potter from Bishul, when you bring it from Machal Medrusha to Mevushal Kol Tzarko, he wasn't saying there's no tikkun. Avadi, there's a tikkun. There's a grace of tikkun. But it doesn't matter, because it's already Mevushal. And what's the Rambam saying? I don't care that you already Chayev for Bishul once. Doesn't matter. Lamaisa, there's a tikkun. Grace of tikkun, you're Chayev. So now, they're Lashitasam by Agasa. The Rashba says there's no Hagasa once as Mefushal Kol Tzarko. Why? I don't care that there's a tikkun. You're already Chayev. Says the Rambam. I don't care that you're already Chayev. There's a tikkun. You're Chayev. Any tikkun, there's a Chayev. That's the Rambam and the Rashba Lishitasam. So really, this is very, very beautiful. Now, the only problem with this Vart is it should come out very bad, lahalacha, because we're machmir, certainly, that there is bishul, achar bishul, even once it's reached machal medrusai, to mefush kol tzarko, and though there's some question, even among those who say that's also, whether it's deraisa or derabbanan, we assume certainly it's chashash deraisa. So maybe then we're, you know, if we hold on the shtickle of Chazanish, then we also have to be machmir and there's a chashde rice over here by Agassi, and once it's mefush called Tzarko, right? But we don't necessarily have to go that far. Meaning to say, even if the basic hakira is right, you don't have to go as far in the hakira. In other words, just because you hold of the notion that further tikkun is shayach to bishul, that further tikkun has to be significant, right? L'mashal, we assume that even though there is bishul from machal ben drusai to mefushal kol tzarko, there isn't bishul from mefushal kol tzarko to min samik v'yafalo, right? Even over there, there is a somewhat of a further tikkun. It's yafalo, right? You could say, oh, it's a new dimension, right? It's now making it crispy and dry, right? Whatever, I like my, it's going from mefushal kol tzarko to Cajun food, right? No, that's not a chiyuv. So, so you don't have to accept it, just as a mashal. The Ramban says, we mentioned this before, the Ramban's trying to explain why you're allowed to ever take food from a pot, because why isn't it hagas every time? So he says, I'll tell you why, because you're only chai for hagasa the first time. So I think the Ramban probably holds that the pshat in hagasa is that it's this new dimension of cooking. In other words, a ne'achakira, right? And he says that only, you know, it only happens once, right? Once you stir your spaghetti once, then it, your yaitzi zayin. And that introduction, no. I mean, it might come back a little bit, but the ikar is done, right? Once you stirred it, even the first time, you're not going to have, like, crispy pieces on top. Okay, it might get clumpy, so it's a good idea to keep on stirring it a couple more times. But the ikar, hagasa, happens the first time, right? So he holds that hagasa is like a new tikkun. He also, though, is mako, probably, that there's no hagasa lachem reshum fushu kol tzarko, right? So just because you see hagasa as like this new tikkun doesn't automatically mean you're going to be chayav lachem reshum fushu kol tzarko. That might be the pshat in the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. But this chakira, you know, it's not not every nafkamina, not every conceivable nafkamina is a mochrach nafkamina. We'll say it that way. But that's the basic point. In other words, again, the basic hakira is what's the pshat in chiv hagasa, and that's a machlaikas. Some rishonim hagasa just give a bishul, in which case pashut, once it's mevushal, it's not shayach. Or option two is no, hagasa is this new dimension, this new tikkun, and that's going to be shayach, conceivably, even lachem reshum kol tzarko. Yeah.
If you hold like this, then why aren't you chayev for the case of the Mishnah on Kuf Mem He, if you were to pour cold water on the salty fish?
No, because Mishnah means tikkun al yedei chayim. In other words, there is no iser, certainly no iser deraisa, of tikkun maichal, right? I could go ahead and make lots of tikkunim, right? I make an egg salad or whatever it is, and we'll leave aside lash and taichin and all the other things, right? Nobody ever said that's bishul, right? Kavush kemevushul. So kavush kavasha might be an iser derabbanan on Shabbos, but except for maybe the Yonis and Ibishitz, nobody ever had a havamina that it's deraisa. But one second, I don't understand. Kavush kemevushul makes the same tikkun as mevushul, right? It's a tikkun gamor. Alidei kvisha, you made this food from inedible to edible, right? It doesn't matter, because now they're choyim. So tikkun maichel is only shayach to bishul when it's tikkun alidei choyim. So the fact that you could be misaking this and bring it to a state of inedibility to edibility by pouring cold water on it doesn't make it bishul, even though it's tikkun. Okay, fine. So that's the basic hakira. The next question we brought up was, is there hagasa only by stirring or even by food removal? So the Rambam is machmir, at least to some degree, on the Shaila. Perkei Melach Yud Aleph, he says, Aser lahachnis magrefa l'keder b'shabbos. Why? Why can't you stick the magrefa into the pot? V'nimtza kemivashal b'shabbos. So he does say that there's a hagasa problem even for ladling out the food. However, we should note that he uses a lashon of aser, and he also has a lashon of kimavasha. So maybe it's not an isidur aisa. Sounds a little bit like an isidur abanan. Now, even on that isidur abanan, the Ravid screams, Hifriz al midoisav sha'aser afilu lahaitzim min akadera b'magreva. Whoever heard of an iser of food removal from the pot, right? That's crazy. Okay, but at the very least, in the Rambam, we see that it's not just formal hagasa, intentional hagasa, that's aser, but even food removal is aser. But again, sounds like only derabbanan. So what's the pshat in the Rambam? So the Magid Mishnah learns that the pshat in the Rambam is anytime there's going to be an iser deoraisa of hagasa, then there's an iser derabbanan of food removal. Food removal is never an iser deoraisa. And anytime there would only be an iser derabbanan for hagasa, then food removal is mutter. So the way the Magid Mishnah understands is that when we're talking about something that isn't fully cooked, so there's a potential iser deraisa by hagasa, so there's an iser derabbanan of food removal. Fine. So that's the Magid Mishnah. So Magid Mishnah thinks there's no way that you could mamish be chayav for food removal, and again, that is the mashmos of the Rambam. But there are some Rishonim, for example, the Ran, Shabbos Yud Chesed Beis. This is seemingly the view of the Rosh, Perek Aleph, Simen Lamed Daled, the view of some others, I think the Radvaz. And they say, no, not true. Could actually have a chiyuv de'ai raisa mishum mevashal if you do food removal. Just like hagasa is a chiyuv de'ai raisa, let's say, certainly if it's not fully cooked, so too, food removal could be an iser deiraisa. Presumably, it's like a psik reisha, and psik reisha demichalai, so it could be a chiyuv deiraisa, right? In other words, it's true, my intention is simply to remove the food. I don't have any intention to mix it up, but an inevitable consequence of that removal is some mixing. That's usually what happens, or maybe it's always what happens, and therefore, at least, you know, worst case scenario, let's say we're talking about something that's not mefush kol tzarko al ha'esh, so that could taka be a chiyuv. Why the Rambam wasn't concerned about that? Maybe he thought it wasn't a psik reisha, it's davshen miskavein. Maybe there goes there because it's domet hagasa. Not clear. Maybe it goes back to the tefilvart that we were just saying.
That's machlokes in the Rambam, it's a gzeira, whether it's just davshen miskavein, right?
Yeah. Not clear. And then we have the third view, right? The Ravid that says it's garnished, right? So we have three views. We have Rambam mixing an iser derabbanan, Ran iser deraisa, Ravid garnished. So how do we pass on about that? So the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Kuf Yudalad says we follow the Magid Mishnah, but there's only an iser derabbanan. But therefore we're going to be machmir anytime there's a. If there would possibly be an iser deraisa by hagasa, there's going to be an iser derabbanan of food removal with a spoon. Okay, but let's take the next jump out of order. Let's stop. We have, like we said, there are five different shailas in hagasa with all the rishonim falling on, you know, arguing about each one. How do we pass kavachal maisa? So let's just look at it together. Open up to sif yud ches and simen shin yud ches. So first we'll do the mechaber, then we'll do the ramah. Needless to say, there's confusion in both of them. So first the Mechaber. So Elfis Vakvei Rosh Aviran Merusachem Rabbi Haor. She took it off the fire. Imlon Nispashal Kol Tzarkov and Motzim Yom Mikaf. Good. So if it's not Mefushal Kol Tzarkov, spoon removal is Aser. Like the Rambam. Or maybe worse. Shinimtze Megis Ve'ikha Mishum Mevashal. Good. So that's Klar. You can't do Hagasa if it's not fully cooked. And not only that, but you can't even do spoon removal if it's not fully cooked. Then the Mechaber says, but if it's in Smash called Sarko, it's Motor. And then we have the Aga, who says, L'chatchila, you should be Machmir across the board. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, what comes out is, if it's not Mefushal Kol Tzarko, this is a deraisa of Hagasa Mamish, and it's also Aser to remove from using a spoon. Again, from the Lashon of the Mechaber, you sort of get the impression that it's deraisa, because he doesn't say otherwise. But from the Beis Yosef, sounds like he really likes the Magid Mishnah, so we're probably only dealing with an Issa Rabbanan, and as we mentioned, that's the view of the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and the Shartzion, Sifkat and Kuf Lamed Zayin. So when it's not fully cooked, and you remove it with and you stir it, Issa Deraisa, remove it with a spoon, Issa Derabbanan. What about if it's Mefushal Kol Tzarko? What's the Mechaber going to say over there? So he definitely matirs taking out with a spoon, that's clear. What about if it's on the fire? Is he totally matir, so that's not entirely clear. From the Beis Yosef, who likes the Magid Mishnah, you get the impression, I thought, that even if it's al ha'esh, it's okay, because that's all I did the Magid Mishnah. There's no iser deraisa for agasa, then there's no iser derabanan for hotas hakaf. I think Rav Avadia learns that way also in the Mechaber. The Mishnah Brura is also Mekel on that, Sifkan Kuf Yud Gimel Bedas Mechaber, but he says that the Elia Rabba is Machmir. The Elia Rabba is Machmir. So at the very least, the Elia Rabba says, and this could be the Pshat Mechaber as well, it's unclear, that when it's on the fire, taking it out from the with a spoon is aser. That's the view of Elia Rabba. Maybe Mechaber agrees, but the pashtus is that the Mechaber is mekel. Pashtus is even if it's on the fire, it is mutter, right? So that's obviously very important. Let's say I want to take Friday night challenge, and I forgot to have a blach, right? Or I think I can't do chazar even with a blach because I think it's tocho or something like that. So what could I do? So according to the Pashtus, the Mechaber would say, yeah, you could take it out with a spoon. Assuming it's Mefush Kol Tzarko, no problem. That's the Pashtus. And that's Pashtus even in the Mishnah Brura. But the Mishnah Brura does cite Machmirim on that Shaila. And that's why Lamaisa, as we'll see in a moment, we're not quite there yet, but we try to be Machmir on that Shaila when possible. So when you want to take Friday night challenge, you should take it off the fire. But push comes to shove. If you really need your Friday night challenge and you really don't have a blech, or weighs at 200 pounds the pot or whatever it is, so then really make our din, we're make on that. Now, what about Hagasa? There's when it's Mevushal called Tzarko. So again, the simple reading of the Mechaber sounds like he's Machmir, but it's still not so clear.
No, even the special Tzarko
mutter to take out with a spoon or to do Hagasa Mamish. Right? So this is a big machlokas achronim. Take a look at the Mishnah Brura, Sifkat and Kuf Tezvav. The Chazon Ish also discusses it, the Prima Gadim. Fine. Not clear. But the Ramah is certainly machmir, and the Ramah is machmir even spooning it out, even Mevushkal Tzarko, even Husser Min Haish. Right? Every possible chumrah conceivable on this halacha, the Ramah is machmir. Right? So according to the Ramah, how are you going to take your challenge and put it into a bowl? You're going to have to pour it. Okay.
And that somehow doesn't accomplish this.
So that's sort of interesting. But presumably, yeah, there's less mixing when you pour, like, I don't know, what goes, it just goes out. We don't say what goes up goes down.
What was on top is going to be
in the bowl. It's the bowl. No, on the bowl, that's cliche-y.
Come on.
Okay. Even the Ramah, you could eat with a spoon from the Klisheni. We're not going to ask for all spoons. That's it. Or chicken soup.
Would there be a problem with every bush? If you're machmir for rice, but every bush?
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you want to, you can throw that in. Lamaisa, we don't accept that chumrah. Take a look at the Mishnah Brura, Sifkat and Kuf Yud Zayin. We're not going to be machmir for spooning out. It's mutter l'chat chila. Once it's fully cooked and it's off the fire, to take your challant out of the challant pot with a spoon. You don't have to make a mess by pouring. Really, as we said, it sounds like mikra din, even agasas mamish machmir. But there the Mishnah Brura says, if you want to be machmir, you can be machmir. In other words, you want to be machmir like all the way and say you have to pour out? No, that's going too far. Mafriz al midaisav, right? That's not a reasonable chumrah. If you want to be machmir, not to stir the chalent, right, before you ladle it out, that too is really mechter, really mutter. We're mekel on that chayla. But if you want to be machmir, you're allowed to be machmir on that. But that's also chumrah. It's also someone who wants to mix their chalent after, you know, before. If you want to mix your chalent and you want to really be machmir, so the way to do it is to mix it once you put it into the klisheni. right? Once you put into cliche, that's if you want to be muffin. But if you don't want to be so firm, it's okay to also mix it in the challan pot after you've taken it off the fire. Or, for example, you're serving your challan in the challan pot. You're not going to pour it into a separate bowl, and it's and you want it to be mixed. So that would be okay. But someone who wants a machmir over there, they could be machmir. Fine. And this is more or less the Pesach of the Chai Adam, Rav Moshe, say, then what about if it's on the fire? So on the fire, then really we should try to be machmir. Like we said, this is also that what? Not even to take it off with the spoon. This is also the Pesach of the Chai Adam and Rav Moshe. It's Bishel Osches in those short shuvos. Other achronim are totally makel, like the Igletal and the like. Chazanish is really, we should be makel on that shayla. The Chazanish says, well, since the Mishnah is machmir, then you should be machmir. So if we want to just summarize the halach lemaisa, ideally, you should not remove even with a spoon. You certainly shouldn't spoon it, stir it when it's on the fire. That's asa. Ideally, you shouldn't even spoon it out on the fire. But if mikaradin, there's makum to be makel if there's no other option. Right? I think that for those interested in the history of moko, so they used to be machmir, like not to spoon it out. So they would do hachzara on the challant for Friday night. And then like one time there was a calamity of some sorts because the pot weighs 100 pounds. So they decided that, it's too dangerous to like try to ladle out the food while people are holding the pot. And therefore, we're not going to follow this chumrah. We're going to allow you to
put it on the counter.
Yoni will explain to you why that's impossible. So therefore, we're going to follow the lenient few. But since it's not ideal, so therefore, they stopped that, and they started making two challans, one for Friday night, one for Shabbos day. Good. That's ideal. But again, really, mikradin, it's mutter. Then, once it's off the fire, so really, mikradin, you could stir it. But if you want to be machmir not to stir it, that's a fine chumrah. But you shouldn't be machmir to ladle it out. Ladling it out is totally okay. You definitely don't have to be machmir and pour it. Okay, good. Just one, I guess, last point here, which is obviously, again, one very important sad, one, you know, the pashup shot, why Hagas is Usher, like we said from the beginning, even though we got very transfixed by the Chazon Ish's Mahalech, at the Pasuk Pshat, in the end of the day, by Agassiz is Asar, because you're Meir Sabishal, Makarv Sabishal. So it's important to remember that all forms of being Makarv Sabishal are Asar. This is discussed primarily in Simen Reish Nun Dalet Siv Dalet. I hope everybody has a chance to do this. And anything, really, that's going to cause Meir Sabishal should be avoided. It's Asar. So there are a number of examples of this, as we might have mentioned this, covering the pot, or covering it with something else, or closing the door of the oven, or all sorts of things are usher, and therefore that has to be taken into account. Okay, so what do we have left? We have hatmana. How much time do we have? All right, let's at least start hatmana. So, we've already had a chance to discuss this Gemara and Daf Lamed Daled a number of times, but we'll chazer it briefly. We know that there's an Isser of Hatmana, and Hatmana is a very unusual thing, because there's an Isser Hatmana both on Erev Shabbos and on Shabbos. However, the nature of the Isser Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is different than the nature of the Isser of Hatmana on Shabbos. Namely, Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is only Asher if it's Mosif Hevel, and Hatman on Shabbos is Aser even if it's Eino Mosef Hevel. What's Mosef Hevel? Mosef Hevel literally means to add heat. And the Mishnayos give all sorts of examples of things that are Mosef Hevel. Now, coals, very logically, would be osav hevel, right? They stay hot for a long time. Some of the examples, basically all the other examples in the Mishnayos, right? Most of hevel, according to Rashi, is just usher, gzeresh hamayadman beremet. And then you have a real problem because of chitui gecholim. All the other examples, I can't really explain the metzias of why these things are most of hevel, like why olives cause the fire to rise. I assume it's some type of chemical reaction or the like. That I don't know what scientists would say about these. It's hard to imagine that they would agree to all this metzias. Though I will point out an interesting ha'ara, which is that if you've ever stirred, especially on a cool night, your compost pile, right? A lot of these hatmanas are compost, basically, of sorts. Mm-hmm. Compost is when you take, like, the old food, like your leftover potato peels and the like, instead of just throwing them in the garbage,
you let it degrade.
You let it, right, degrade, and it turns into really nice soil, which you could use for your garden. So you want to turn it every so often. And so when you stir your compost, you'll notice, let's say, especially on a cold night, you'll notice that it steams. Lots of steam comes up. Why? Because as it's decomposing, it's, that all the bacteria are working on it and the like, and they produce heat, and it's pretty warm. It stays warm, actually. And so if it's like a cold night, just like when that heat's released and the moisture is released into the air, you'll see like steam coming up. And it feels warm, by the way. So even though there it's like cold, there's no... So apparently, when the hot pot interacts with these rotting olive leftover gunk from the oil-making process or something like that, somehow or another, it increases heat. Okay, so obviously, almost all the cases of Mosef Hevel are not really relevant in our world. We don't even use coals anymore. But there is one case that we do all the time, which is we put things on, let's say, a plata. That's Mosef Hevel. Now I'll say, wow, that's not Hatmana. So first of all, this brings us all the way back to Mishnah Gimel, where we saw the debate between the Mechaber and the Ramah.
But doesn't it at least need to touch the walls of the pot?
That's the Machlokas, seemingly, between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Right? If you put something flat on coals, Mechaber says that's Hatmana, Ramah says not.
I thought it was because it...
Now that's the Shaila of what's a Prat in the Mechaber. Good. So that we'll probably get to next time, but you're correct. In other words, not clear how much you need for the Mechaber. The Mechaber is certainly very Machmer. So I would say that the simplest reading of the Mechaber is he's aser with aser al tatmana, even if leaving it on a blech. But you could argue what you're saying, and Yuvadia says like you. I'm not surprised. You know, Yechavusa probably told you. But says like you that no, putting it on something flat.
You telepathically,
right? Yeah, exactly. So that could be okay, right? That's correct. That's going to be shadow within a Mechaber. The Ramah is much more machmekel. He says, no, hatmana means to be totally enveloped. Now, sort of the question is how far that goes. Totally, totally, totally? So I'll give you an example of where hatmana comes up. A lot of people like to warm things up on their blech. Let's say we're talking about Erev Shabbos, but the problem is, like, you know, or plata or the like, you know, the things on hot top won't really get hot or stay hot. So a very good chap is to cover it, like, with towels or blankets, right? I know my grandparents used to have chicken soup in the summer in Eretz Yisrael, in Netanya. Netanya in the summer, especially with air conditioning, it's like, phew. But my grandparents would not, you know, you can't forego chicken soup. But how are you going to keep the chicken soup hot? Like, to leave, like, your blech on? So what would they used to do? My mom used to, they would take the chicken soup, and they would put it under the puch. They would bring it to their beds, put the chicken soup in the bed, cover it in their blankets. And that's good. That's the heart. Tatzman of Devashen and Mosef Hevel. Even that's not so positive. If you notice, by the way, that one of the examples of things that are Mosef Hevel are Muchen, which are like old fabrics.
But only if it's moist.
Ah, very good. So luckily, their blankets were dry, so we're good. Now, What would be if a guy, if they were wet, so then the machlokas ram, right? Maybe we'll talk about that, right? Depends if it's my mekilim say only if it's wet machmas atzmos, like from the sweaty part of the sheep or something. But but so that's okay, I think there. But the machmir might be machmir there. But okay, usually their blankets were dry, were in good shape. And
dry.
Since they did it before Shabbos, fine. But they would also do the following in the winter when they would leave on the blech. But they would leave this little tiny flame on the blech. And they'd want to heat up a lot of things. So that once again, they would take out the blankets and they would put the chicken soup on the blech and then the kugel on top of the chicken soup or on top of the chalent and then put a towel on top of it. So that's Hatzmana B'davar Masav Hevel. So if you were to totally envelop the potato kugel, that would certainly be awesome, even if you did it before Shabbos, right? So what do you need to do for the Ramah? You need to leave it partially uncovered. So one of the shaylas is, how partially do you need? Right? But my grandparents did Hatmana like, nowadays, like nobody does Hatmana. They did like Hatmana like five times every Shabbos. They would put the soup under the blankets, they would put the potato kugel under the blankets, under the blankets on the stove. They had this thing for the chaynik, which we have to talk about also. Chaynik is an urn. So,
Yeah,
that's what it means. Because urns, haka chaynik, they used to make this noise, and you hack it around, and it makes the, you're like driving me crazy, you want to drive somebody crazy, you hack the chaynik, right? That's where it comes from. Sheesh, you guys need to learn a little Yiddish. So,
I guess I'm up in hot water now.
Thinking of when we're a little bit ahead of you guys doing good courses, I'm already thinking of good puns for you. I just remember them when they come up. It's like, I have to remember that one for you.
Don't cut it out.
So, anyway, for the last point, and then we'll stop. So then, the shaila is, what do you need? So, right? So they used to have this, like, sleeve. So if you went ahead, and let's say you put a towel over the chaynik to stay hot, right? But you sort of draped it only partially, let's say the front was exposed, that's going to be aser for Sfaradim, mutter for Ashkenazim. But if you have this, like I've seen many people have this sock that fits the chaynik that you put right on top, that's tight, that like mamish fits the whole thing, that's going to be aser. That's going to be hatmana b'davar Masav Hevel. I've seen people do that. That luchar is aser. So these types of shalas, even hatmana b'davar Masav Hevel, come up a lot nowadays. And that's what we are going to, Bezus Hashem, get into the details next time. So I think we'll be able to do all of Hatmana next time. I hope. It's a big sugya. Also talk about Tachbetit. Get back to that also. And then that will be Monday. Bezus Hashem. Tuesday is the Bechina. Wednesday, we start Gozes. So I assume you're mostly finished Chazara already. But if not, you should be finishing up so we can keep moving. I know that Adam is smiling. If what I'm saying is totally unrealistic, let me know. But if it's sort of realistic, push yourselves.
I think it'd be, yeah. Can we stop the recording?
Yeah.